Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines. From blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. We've got a lot to get to today. Tennessee has added to its schedule, and it's a big matchup as the Jimmy V Classic is set for December 2nd in Indianapolis, as announced by ESPN earlier this week. Earlier this week also, five-star freshman Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer both spoke to the media. You'll hear some comments from those guys as well. And a recap real quick of the NBA draft. The SEC did pretty well, and not just because of Kentucky and Anthony Edwards. We'll take a look at what happened at the NBA draft on Wednesday night. But we start with Tennessee's newest five-star freshman, and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer have obviously been the focal point of this class. Corey Walker is somebody that should not be neglected. Of course, you have two new transfers coming in. Victor Bailey Jr., who has already been at Tennessee for a year, is now finally eligible. And then EJ Anasicki, coming from Sacred Heart, expected to make a big impact right away. But Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, the second and third five-star recruits that Rick Barnes has had since coming to Tennessee. Kennedy Chandler has already become the fourth for the class of 2021. These two guys are expected to play a lot of basketball, and Josiah Jordan James was thought to make an impact, and we've seen flashes of his athleticism and how good he can be. We've talked about how unselfish he is and how I think fans and Barnes want to see him take a little bit more control. And he spent most of the preseason last year with an injury and is finally going to be healthy this season. So with the season starting less than a week from now, you're going to see Josiah Jordan James probably play a bigger role. Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer are hoping to do the same. There's a really loaded backcourt for Tennessee when you mix in Santiago Vescovi and Victor Bailey Jr. as well. So for Springer and Johnson, they are trying to get involved right away, trying to play a big role. These are two guys that were highly touted, expected to add more scoring to kind of go with Vescovi, who likes to be a volume shooter, to get generating more on the backcourt because you're losing Lamonte Turner. You don't have Jordan Bowden back this year. So there's going to be some high expectation on a couple of five-star guys to elevate Tennessee, and that comes with the territory of going from a team that finished ninth in the SEC last year to starting this season ranked number 12th in the AP poll. For Keon Johnson, he understands that that has a lot to do with defense. And so he was asked what helps make him a great defensive player and kind of emphasizing the significance of that.
I feel like my grit, just my will to want to play defense, to want to lock another opponent down, and just being able to have that type of heart and stigma about myself. I feel like it first starts off on the defensive end. If you can defend, then you'll find your way onto the court.
Keon Johnson, and he's got the right idea. Understanding that you want to get on the court, you better play defense, especially if you're playing for Rick Barnes. This is a team that's expected to do some really good things defensively. John Fulkerson expecting to get better protecting the rim. Eve Pons, obviously a good rim protector, the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Tennessee feels like it has some speed at the guard spot where it can help defend on the perimeter. And that's been a point of contention for Tennessee the last couple of years. It hasn't been the best team at guarding the three-point shot. And so in a league where you're going to see some outside shooting, you're going to see some teams that can get up the floor quickly and run some offense, Tennessee is going to have to do that. Tennessee's going to have to find a way to get better on the perimeter. And so Keon Johnson also talked about how he feels like his speed helps the team the most because of what he can do defensively and utilizing his athleticism, not just as a scorer, but to help Tennessee on the defensive end as well. And that's going to make Rick Barnes really happy if that's truly the way that Keon Johnson is prioritizing his game. And he talked about how he has a good relationship with Jaden Springer. They're roommates this year at Tennessee. They play video games a lot and hang out and I'd like to play Madden, actually. So while we're here in the midst of the NFL season, two of Tennessee's basketball players, they enjoy playing Madden against each other. And according to Keon, Jaden appears to be the bigger, the better Madden player. But Springer also talked about what he can do for the team. And he was asked by Grant Ramey of GoVols 24/7. It's a loaded backcourt. It's because it's not just Keon and Jaden. As I mentioned, you have Viscovi, you have Victor Bailey Jr., you have Josiah Jordan James. And Jaden Springer was asked what sets him apart from those other guards in Tennessee's backcourt.
Really, I feel like on the defensive end, I can get down, I can lock up on defense, and then also on offensive end, I could still I could score the ball, I can create open shots for my teammates and stuff like that. So I feel like I can I'm pretty good on both sides of the ball.
Jaden Springer. So you're hearing from both guys, a lot of versatility, the ability to get it done on both ends of the floor, the ability to score, the ability to create plays for the guys around him. Inside out, complimentary basketball, a lot of assists. Sounds like the perfect fit for a system like Rick Barnes. So Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer are going to be expected to do some big things. You hear it from both of them right there, that they believe that they can do a lot to help Tennessee. And that's why there are so many good things being said about this basketball team in terms of its depth, its talent, and its potential to make a very long run in the NCAA tournament. And a reminder, Tennessee was picked to finish first in the SEC this season by local media members. In the SEC media preseason poll, Tennessee picked to finish number one. Eve Pons, John Fulkerson, both named all SEC selections. Tennessee has a big matchup coming up. The Jimmy V Classic has been finalized. That's good, not just for Tennessee, but for college basketball as a whole. The Vols are heading to Indianapolis in early December. A big matchup for Tennessee coming up against an opponent that the Vols have seen in recent years. We'll talk about that next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. Tennessee is going to play Gonzaga in the Jimmy V Classic in Indianapolis on December 2nd. Eight of the top 13 teams in college basketball will highlight the first 2 days of the month. You've got the State Farm Champions Classic set for December 1st that features Duke, which is ranked number 9th to start the season, against number 13 Michigan State. Number 10 Kentucky will play number 6 Kansas. The Blue Devils are going to host the Spartans, so that game will be played in Durham. Kentucky and Kansas will play in Indianapolis. That's where the Jimmy V Classic is going to be played. Number 12 Tennessee going up against number 1 Gonzaga, and number 2 Baylor playing number 8 Illinois. Baylor, of course, a early season expectation to compete with Kansas for the Big 12, one of the best three teams in the country. That has been the consensus pretty much for the entire offseason with the team that Scott Drew has put together, all the talent they have coming back. They start the season ranked number 2. They get a really talented Illinois team with Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. Brad Underwood easily has his most talented team yet. And that is an Illinois team that is going to be expected to compete with Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin for a chance to win the Big Ten this year. And it's loaded towards the top. The Big Ten, yet again, is going to be expected to have a lot of teams compete for an NCAA tournament. Rutgers trying to snap its tournament drought that it would have technically snapped last year. The longest active Power 5 conference drought for the NCAA tournament is Rutgers since 1991. That means it hasn't happened in my lifetime since Rutgers has gone to the NCAA tournament. And to put that in perspective, the next Power Conference school with the next longest running drought is DePaul from 2004. So 13 years sooner since DePaul has gone to the NCAA tournament. So Tennessee gets this big matchup with Gonzaga. Of course, they played a couple years ago. That's when Admiral Schofield went off after Grant Williams had fouled out. It was a big win for Tennessee that really put the Vols on the map for that season. Of course, Tennessee went on to be ranked number 1 for 4 weeks in the entire country and then was ranked in the top 6 every week of the AP poll throughout the entire season. Obviously a disappointing finish with a loss in the Sweet 16. But this Tennessee team this year is being talked about being as good or better as that team 2 years ago. A team that had 4 NBA players on it. This team is being talked about in the same criteria. A good front court with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons. We talked about the backcourt, how loaded it is in the last segment. You heard from Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson. This is a team that has high expectations. It has veterans that know how to handle those expectations. It has players on this team that know how to win basketball games. They've gone to Rupp Arena and they've won. They've come from behind against Florida and they've won. It is a team that knows how to play good basketball, beat good basketball teams. in big time arenas. And so that game in Indianapolis is going to be a huge measuring stick for Tennessee when it faces Gonzaga on December 2nd. And none of those games will have fans in attendance. So it's not going to be the crowds that you're normally used to seeing, but there are going to be some high expectations. And I think for Tennessee, that's something you're going to hear about a lot, especially with a Gonzaga team that does not have Philip Petrushev after he decided to go pro. He's not back this year. Despite that, Gonzaga is still the number one team in college basketball and one of the favorites to potentially win a national championship this year. So it's a big deal for Tennessee. It's still going to be a good win, even though Petrushev's not there. Corey Kispert coming back was big for the Zags. And now Tennessee having Eve Pons coming back is big for the Volunteers. And you have these early games with the Classic against Charlotte and VCU at Thompson Bowling Arena. They're going to get Charlotte on the 25th, VCU on the 27th. Charlotte and VCU will play each other on the 26th. So Tennessee gets a couple of games to prepare for that Gonzaga matchup. You'll get to see VCU more so than Charlotte, how good this Tennessee team is going to look. Remember last year, early in the season at the event down in Tallahassee, VCU gave Tennessee a really good run, and Lamonte Turner hitting that corner three at the buzzer gave Tennessee the win. So VCU is going to be a nice test early for Tennessee to see what you can expect when they get ready to go to Indianapolis to take on Gonzaga and Mark Few's team. The NBA draft, a lot of SEC players taken. What did the first round look like after Anthony Edwards? It's not just Kentucky, other schools chipping in as well shows that the conference is getting better. It's getting deeper. The coaching's getting better. We'll talk about that next on the Behind the Arc podcast. So Anthony Edwards went number one overall to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And as expected, the Warriors did take James Wiseman. So LaMelo Ball, there was some talk about him potentially moving up to number one in the draft, but he went to Charlotte at number three, just given James Wiseman and the need for Golden State to get a big instead of looking at guard. So now an area where Golden State has kind of been lacking in terms of its front court, you now have that opportunity with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Hopefully he's able to come back after being revealed that his leg injury from last year might be more serious. But James Wiseman is hopefully going to provide an immediate need for Golden State. Anthony Edwards, pairing him with Karl Anthony Towns, you could start seeing some momentum there for Minnesota. Because I was talking to Josh Ward, my colleague here at the Sports Animal, earlier in the offseason, talking about who is the next big superstar after Giannis. Because obviously when big-time players are playing in markets that aren't having success, they end up going somewhere else, being part of a super team or going to a bigger market, and immediately become more likely to win a championship. Giannis has been in that conversation for a while because they've come close with Milwaukee, but he ultimately hasn't gotten it done. And so I was asking Josh Ward, okay, who's the next guy after Giannis? And he said probably Karl Anthony Towns. And so getting Anthony Edwards in the draft, and if he makes a big impact right away, then you're talking about the potential that Minnesota could start to compete. And if that happens, maybe they're able to keep Karl Anthony Towns. So you see the impact there. But after Anthony Edwards being taken out of Georgia, it wasn't just a matter of, okay, Anthony Edwards and then a couple of Kentucky guys. Isaac Okoro went fifth overall to the Cleveland Cavaliers. You had six total SEC players taken in the first round alone. Kyra Lewis Jr. from Alabama went 13th overall to New Orleans. Boston took Aaron Nesmith overall out of Vanderbilt at 14th. And later on in the first round, Tyrese Maxey went 21st overall to Philadelphia. And then Emmanuel Quickley went 25th overall to Oklahoma City. So you had six players taken from the SEC in the first round, and Kentucky didn't have anybody taken until after the first 20 picks. And obviously it's, you know, it's another year where Kentucky has multiple first round draft selections, but you're seeing Vanderbilt, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. You're seeing other SEC schools land big time recruits. And then when you go to the second round, you see five more SEC players. You see Saban Lee from Vanderbilt going 38th overall to Utah. Robert Woodard II went 40th overall to Memphis. Nick Richards went 42nd overall out of Kentucky to New Orleans. Isaiah Joe from Arkansas went 49th overall to Philadelphia. Skylar Mays from LSU went 50th overall to Atlanta. Reggie Perry from Mississippi State went 57th overall to the Clippers. And so Mississippi State had two guys drafted. Vanderbilt had two guys drafted, which is kind of perplexing. Is how is Vanderbilt so bad having two NBA players on its team? But Reggie Perry was playing at an All-American level at times. You saw how important Robert Woodard was for them. Saben Lee and Aaron Nesmith. Nesmith obviously didn't play a lot. That's, you know, back-to-back injury luck with Darius Garland and Aaron Nesmith both not playing a whole lot of basketball for Vanderbilt. But you see the number of schools. And then the year before, you had three guys from Tennessee taken in the NBA draft, with Kyle Alexander later signing a two-way contract with the Miami Heat. So you are seeing a lot of progress and a lot of talent coming to the SEC, and not just a matter of, okay, well, Kentucky's get a bunch of guys and then maybe one or two other schools will have an NBA caliber player. No, it's guys getting taken in the first round of the draft, and it's not the same schools every year. And next year, there's a possibility that Tennessee could have some guys taken in the draft. We don't know what these five-star recruits are going to do in year one, Josiah Jordan James in year two. What could happen to Eve Pons this year? There was talk of him maybe going to the NBA draft. He considered it. He was probably going to be a second-round pick, but if he continues to develop his game, I don't know how much his ceiling can really climb, but if a team falls in love with him, his athleticism, his ability to play defensively, being a weapon that he is, you'll probably see him get taken at some point in the second round at the very least. And if not, he's going to get a shot at a camp somewhere. So the SEC continuing to get better. And then you look at this season, Keontae Johnson out of Florida. So Florida's likely to have a draft prospect sometime in the near future. There's just so much talent in the league. The coaching has gotten better. You have a coach in Konzo Martin that's taken three different power conference schools to the NCAA tournament. Rick Barnes, of course, has had a ton of success. Calipari over at Kentucky. Mike White, while he's been a disappointment the last couple of seasons, he does have an Elite Eight on his resume. Frank Martin has a Final Four on his resume at South Carolina. And A.J. Lawson, he's got him coming back, who's a preseason All-SEC selection. So there is so much to like about this league, and it really goes to show Isaiah Joe, that, you know, and Isaiah Joe wasn't even the best player on his team at Arkansas last year. Mason Jones was, but Isaiah Joe showing how valuable he was and how much it hurts Arkansas that he's not coming back. He gets drafted in the second round. There is so much talent in the league this season that it's going to be really impressive if Tennessee does indeed find a way to hold off Kentucky and LSU and win the conference as they were picked to by the media. I think that goes to show the significance of what Tennessee could potentially accomplish this year. And I know they were co-champions a couple years ago, back when Grant was a sophomore, Admiral was a junior. They were picked to finish 13th. That was obviously huge. But if they could win the league and then win the tournament, win the SEC tournament for the first time in more than three decades, I think Tennessee could cement itself with this team as one of the best teams in Tennessee school history. And you're talking about getting to the Elite Eight for the second time, maybe getting to the Final Four for the first time, and then we'll see what could happen. You've heard Desmond Oliver, Tennessee's assistant coach, say that with their depth, it's the deepest team they've ever had, and that this team has the potential to be playing the last game of the season. There is a lot to like about this Tennessee basketball team. You've got talented freshmen coming in. You've got veterans that are returning that offer a lot of good experience and talent. And it's happening at a time when the SEC has a ton of depth all across the board. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. And leave me a question at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Appreciate you checking out the podcast. College basketball season, less than a week away. Tennessee going to be playing Charlotte and VCU next week. And then December 2nd at Indianapolis, Gonzaga, the number one team in the country, will meet Tennessee in Indianapolis. It should be a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.